The free-for-all roundtable.
Round one.
On round one, you've already heard from Jerry Iger. He's live in studio. Also on the panel today, as he turns the page. Here we go. Also on the panel today, Vass Bednar. See, this wouldn't happen if I followed Vass Bednar's advice and did my show digitally. Executive Director of the Master of Public Policy degree in Digital Society at McMaster University and Toronto lawyer Courtney Betty. His firm is known as Betty's Law. And let's actually start with the new garbage cans, because that's what John Tory was writing about. And it seems he is tired of Olivia Chow blaming him for things, because in all likelihood, the procurement for these new bins started way before she got to office. So to say she inherited a mess is, shall we say, disingenuous. Jerry?
Well, yeah, but she seems to lead with that. How long do you get to do that?
I'm not sure what the statute of limitations is.
I guess until people stop blaming Mike Harris for stuff. maybe it's that long. But Tory's probably making a really good point that these things don't happen just literally overnight. And on the other hand, anyway, she says, well, we're improving it. We've got these new bins that are coming out and all of that. Okay, well, then let's look forward.
Well, in Vass Bednar, apparently they're going to have sensors in them, which will alert city trash collectors when they're full. And I always think the greatest example of bad urban design that seemed like a good idea was in Montreal for Expo. They put in these strips of lights along the elevated freeways, not realizing that the snow plows would smash every single one of them in the first winter. So, you know, the idea that cities can get infrastructure right, I'm never convinced.
I would say it's less about cities in that regard and more about this kind of fetish we have for making quote unquote dumb things smart by adding a sensor, right? This creates an ability for the company to upcharge citizens even more. So back to the procurement, yeah, sure, things can take a long time. And if Tory wants a slice of a thumbs up emoji from us, because under his administration, they started these conversations about bins, great. But, you know, somebody has made a decision that this smart integration will somehow improve pickup, and it could make it less efficient overall. So I hope we just sort of keep our eyes on it. And I think they're lucky that we have this sensor, because otherwise people are like, guys, it's a rectangle. If we can't get trash right, what else are we going to do?
Courtney Betty, in a concession that most of the recycling goes to the dump, there's going to be more space for garbage and less space for recycling.
Well, that's part of the challenge. But John, I want to go back to what you mentioned, because it's interesting. When I read the article this morning, that's the first thing that came to me. You know, I was like, great, we're going to get these 1,000 new garbage cans. Why is there a need to say, I've inherited a mess? And I do like a lot of the work that Olivia Chow is doing. She's got to leave that part behind.
Okay, so let's tackle, I was doing a segment a little while ago on the show about things like it's time to move on, but we're going to dwell on it for a moment anyway. Sarah Jama wore a keffiyeh into the House yesterday. Ted Arnott, the Speaker, said, you have to leave. She didn't leave. He said, well, I'm not going to physically remove her. Here's what she had to say at the end of it all.
I will continue to wear this garment. I will continue to stand in support of staff who are trying to enter this building and hold on to the fact that, you know, there are people are being genocided, and I refuse to be afraid of participating as an elected member, representing the fact that there are people being genocided, and we are arguing about a cloth right now.
Yes, we are arguing about a cloth. Courtney Betty, your thoughts?
My thought is that we really got to look at it, John. First of all four parties in the House have said that they disagree with this, and we have to always give ourselves a balance between the things that we cherish as civil libertarians. And my concern is, by the Speaker doing this, he's actually accentuated the problem in a situation now where there's a voice, we're getting the same messages, the same clips that you're playing this morning. That's a result of the Speaker's decision. But more importantly, I think to some extent, the Speaker has to consult at the very least with the parties that are in the House. He's there to be the circus leader, not the controller.
Okay, the circus leader. Vass Bednar, your thoughts?
I mean, you mentioned circus. The word kayfabe comes to mind. I used to think it was kayfabe, but this refers to kind of the artifice of wrestling. We know that all but the party leaders have called for this ban to be removed. And I only bring up, you know, pantomime in the sense that this was predictable in terms of what would happen and probably serves to make and reinforce the political point that the member hoped to, and really puts the speaker in this weird bind where they have to uphold the current protocol because that is literally their job.
Yeah, it's become an intransigence. You're absolutely right. Your thoughts, Jerry Agar.
I think this is not a move-on issue. This is a very clear and present issue in our society, and there's a whole lot of stuff wrapped up here with Sarah Gemma. First of all, a woman who can't play well with others, such that she got kicked out of her own party. And it's not easy to get kicked out of the NDP for being crazy, but somehow she managed to accomplish it, and now she's being told she has to leave the legislature. She disingenuously goes around telling people, oh, I was wearing this in this space before October the 7th. And Deb Hutton forced her into admitting that she never was. She's trying to spread a political message. You can't do that. You can't even go in without a unanimous consent of everybody at Queen's Park in a Maple Leafs jersey. That's how it works over there. And by the way, with her misuse of the word genocide, genocided, I'm not sure that's a real word, but
people are being genocided.
Okay, you know who's being genocided? Take a look at the Hamas charter, Sarah. Why don't you read through that and see that the goal of the people you seem to be supporting is to wipe the Jews off the planet. This is a really important issue.
The Canadians.
The question is, though, Jerry, is the actions of the speaker helping or not, even if we agree with everything that you said? And I don't see how it is, because the actions of the speaker have created the platform that we're having this discussion. So her message is actually getting out more this morning.
Okay.
That's the only point.
No, he is actually the referee. I mean, I forget what you called him, but he's kind of the referee of what goes on over there. And therefore, he upholds the rule book. That's what he's doing. That's his job. Sarah Gemma doesn't give a damn what the rules are. That's why, by the way, she's on her last term here, because she's not part of any party. So I don't see her getting reelected.
The Canadian Civil Liberties Association says the Toronto Police Chief Myron Demkew has not been categorical enough in renouncing his remarks from last Sunday. Vass Bednar, I kind of put this in the file of, okay, let's keep moving. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I believe in the verdict. Let's keep going.
I mean, that's the bucket it's in for me. Again, right? Statements. Is it enough? How much are we going to nudge and sort of push this person? I think hopefully they've been, they seem to understand that what they were saying was inappropriate. And I do think we can move on. I don't know what we accomplish by saying, we need a follow-up statement that's more aligned with what we're hoping to hear you say.
Yeah, Jerry Agar, in a Jesuitical sense, I guess I get what they're saying, which is there's a level of intellectual purity here where he really should completely renounce it and promise never to do it again. But I think, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. I have nothing else to add.
All right. Well, the lawyer on the panel is Courtney Betty. What are your thoughts?
Well, John, I'm not even looking for him to change his statement, but I do think it's really critical that we understand this element, if you're an officer of the court. A few years back, a lawyer was actually banned because he came out of the courtroom and he made a statement. He lost his license. I won't mention his name, because he said that the court system was biased in favor of the police. So as an officer of the court, which we are, and the chief of police is to some extent an officer of the court, he's got to be careful as to statements that he makes about the court. Having said that, let's move on.
Okay, got it. A Jewish student who is not publicly identified is suing TMU, that's Toronto Metropolitan University, formerly known as Ryerson, over a toxic anti-Semitic working environment. Courtney Betty, this gets us into some pretty dicey territory, because not all criticism of Israel is necessarily by definition anti-Semitic, but it's pretty clear some pretty awful anti-Semitic things have been going on in these protests since October 7th.
Well, there's so much going on right now, John. If you look, I've been following what's going on in the colleges in the United States, at Columbia University and many others. There is an explosion that's taking place that's gathering a lot of steam. And literally, my thought even before I looked at the program this morning, when I watched last night, was, is this going to now become a part of our environment in Canada? You know, TMU, it's one of the most multicultural institutions in Canada right now. It's very difficult to say that everyone's interest is always going to be protected without opposing views. And that's what we're having in that environment.
Jerry Yeager?
I'm happy that it's taking place. I think the universities need to be held to account on this. It's the allegation being made in the lawsuit, as I understand it, is not just that people are allowed to say stuff this Jewish student disagrees with. He feels that it's a dangerous and unwelcome environment there for Jewish students at the university. So I'm very curious to see where this goes.
And Vass Bednar, there's no denying this has been heating up on campuses all over the world, but in particular here in Canada and the United States. As a matter of fact, the head of one university told Jewish students, you should probably work from home.
We were just talking about the legislature as a place where we uphold political neutrality for a range of reasons. I don't think university campuses should be places that we seek to scrub of any kind of politics and dissent. So I'm not clear. It's not clear what the university's duty is to protect someone from posters, from protests that are in a certain place and can be avoided. So I think the university is a place where you have ongoing dialogue, you experience dissent, and you experience discomfort, and you try to make it productive. So I'm kind of surprised by the framing of this lawsuit and the expectation that is implicit here about an institution's ability, again, or duty to do more to ensure what? That you aren't aware of the challenging viewpoints that other people hold in the world? That doesn't seem useful to me.
Well, I think the allegation here is that the university would be very quick to support other groups and doesn't support Jewish students. And what I wanted to throw in here, John, is that the student is identified. Nicole Shres.
And
I'm not sure that I'm saying the last name correctly.
Okay, good to know, because we were chasing after the lawyer. But if we can find the student, let's bring it on. Thanks to you all for a very lively round table.
Catch the round table, round one at 7:45, round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning. News Talk 1010, Toronto.